You may be seated. Very glad to have you today on this day to honor a wonderful man, Brother George Wiesner, and we are very grateful to be able to share this time with you and with this family. Just to let you know what we'll do today, we're going to enjoy scripture, reading that all of this is scripture that is important to Brother Wiesner, and it was requested that we read today. We'll be able to sing together, and all of these songs are requested again by Brother Wiesner that were important to him, and we'll enjoy that very much as well. We'll have just a family remembrance, and James Hostetter, his grandson, is going to share that with us as well. And then in addition to that, we'll have a song in Portuguese by the Lott and Jada family. And as you look at the casket here, you'll notice the quilt that is there. And that was arranged by the Daughters of the American Revolution to honor Brother Wiesner for his service to our country. You'll see two Bibles there as well. One of those is an English Bible. One is a Portuguese Bible, Brother Wiesner's Bibles. And so you'll appreciate those things. All right. With that said, then, we're going to stand together, and Pastor Alexander is going to lead us in singing.
We'll begin singing this morning with number 67, The Love of God. The words will be projected for you. Let's sing together of The Love of God.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pen.
Be seated.
We're going to have scripture reading and prayer by Dr. David Snyder. Dr. Snyder is the President and General Director of Baptist International Missions Incorporated. And Martha told me that Brother Wiesner would say that's his boss. So Brother Snyder is going to come.
And every time I heard Brother Wiesner say that, I said, I'm not your boss, I'm your friend. And that's an honor. That's an honor. So it is an honor to be asked to read these verses, again, some of Brother Wiesner's favorite verses. And I will say as I read them, very appropriate verses for the day and time in which we live and for this time of bereavement for the family and friends today. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today, and though a sad occasion, yet joyous as we think that your child has now arrived home. And Lord, I do thank you for the testimony and the life of Brother Wiesner. Lord, I know that for me personally, it's an encouragement to continue on and to remain faithful to the very end. I thank you for this soldier, not only of the U.S. Army, but this soldier in your army and the battle he has fought. And he has, Lord, indeed remained faithful to the end. And thank you, Lord, for the testimony that he has left behind. And Lord, I do pray now for the family and the friends, those of us who on this side of eternity grieve because of his loss. But Lord, I thank you that although we may grieve and we may sorrow, we do not grieve or sorrow as those who have no hope. Because Lord, we understand and know that someday we will see him again if we know you as our personal Savior. And so Lord, now I pray for your blessings and your help for the family, for friends, but then also for this service as well, as we really celebrate the life of Brother Wiesner during this time, and we remember what you have done through him, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
The obituary that was in the online, the paper, as well as your folder there, George Wiesner, Irwin Wiesner, 99 and a half. Of Ringgold, went home to be with his Lord and Savior on Thursday, December the 24th, at his home. He was born in Chicago, Illinois, on June 11th, 1921, to the late Leo and Bertha Wiesner. He had served in the United States Army Air Forces as an airplane mechanic during World War II and was stationed in Brazil, and that was life-changing for him. And Mr. Wiesner graduated from Tennessee Temple University and served as a missionary in Brazil for 50 years. His life was always centered on doing the Lord's will, and he was a member of Stanley Heights Baptist Church. Preceded in death by his first wife, Marie Nadine Srigley, who passed away in 1961, and his second wife, Marina Toso, who also preceded in death. And he is also preceded in death by his 8 siblings. And survivors include his loving children, Edith, Nadine Donahue, and John, and Esther, and David Ott, and then Jonathan and Jonathan Wiesner and Victoria and Martha Hostetter, and then 7 grandchildren, 6 great-grandchildren, along with numerous nieces and nephews. You'll notice that there is an invitation that in lieu of flowers to give donations to Baptist International Missions Incorporated. And Brother Wiesner has supported 3 ladies who are carrying on a work of which he was very significant, of Child Evangelism Fellowship in Brazil. And these ladies are still continuing this work, and any donations will be given to them to continue the work of their work of Child Evangelism Fellowship in Brazil. All right. Well, a number of years ago, and we every so often we'll do this at our church, we have what we call intergenerational prayer meeting. And we try to have people of different generations pray together. And so a couple of years ago, I was in one of these intergenerational prayer meetings, and Brother Wiesner was in our group. And in fact, sat just back here in this section, on this just about to the last part of that section. And we had such a wonderful time because there were people of all these generations. Of course, you know, he's the older generation, of course. And so we gathered there and we were praying together and sharing testimonies together. And I sat in this group watching as there were young children gathered around him, and we were asking questions about Brazil. And it was so wonderful. These children had an opportunity that they could not appreciate at their age. But it was such a wonderful experience, and it gave a wonderful insight into his life in Brazil, because I've known him here toward the end. But there's such a life that was lived. And so I thought it would be really appropriate, and I'm so grateful for the Hostetter family, Wiesner family, to share something of their life. And James Hostetter is going to share with you remembrances for their family and the life in Brazil.
Thank you, Pastor. I just want to say first, you guys have no idea how much it means to our family that you all are here, both physically and remotely. Just, we feel the love and prayers from everyone, and it means so much to us. We just kind of want to prepare kind of a cliff notes of his life. He had so many stories, we couldn't begin to share them all. But we just kind of prepared, like I said, cliff notes. So George Wiesner, my grandfather, was one of the greatest men I've ever known. He's run his race well, and he's finished well. He accepted Christ as a savior at the age of 19 while attending Moody Bible night classes. Grandpa felt it a privilege and a blessing to be in the service of our God as a missionary in Brazil for almost 50 years. He always said that was his chief privilege. He first went to Brazil during World War II as an airplane mechanic with the U.S. Army Air Forces. After the war ended, he felt called to come back to Brazil as a missionary. He attended Tennessee Temple Seminary and reached the field in January of 1958 with his wife, Marie, and four children. While serving as a missionary in Brazil, he started several churches in northern and northeastern Brazil. After 4 years, the family came back to the U.S., where his first wife passed from cancer. He and his four children eventually went back to Brazil. They still felt the Lord leading them back there, so they packed everything back up and went back to the mission field. While there, they established Igreja Batista Batel in São Cristóvão, along with four more churches across the state of Bahia. He met a second wife there, Marina, the grandmother I grew up with, and she was a great help to his ministry. And they also kind of adopted sort of an aunt of mine and my sisters and the rest of us, Hailda. She helped them with that same ministry from the beginning. Marina was the superintendent to the public school system in the city of Salvador, and this gave my grandfather the great idea just to also start a child evangelism ministry and a ministry in the leper colonies nearby. Marina helped him get everything started with the school system and also with the leper colony. He would go every Sunday afternoon until it closed due to the cure for leprosy. And he always thought it was really cool that he got to go and share Christ with them. And I just remember hearing him talk about it. He never was afraid of actually being near the lepers. And that was always really cool, just that he trusted the Lord and he loved on them in a way that they didn't really get to see very much. So it was a really powerful ministry. And everyone who talked about it would tell us how much it meant to everyone that he was there. This also opened the doors. With Hailda's help and Marina and several others to continue the ministry even today. Hailda still goes today, and many of the other women who are a part of it, as Pastor mentioned, still go to the villages and do this child ministry today. Eventually, after his second wife passed away, Grandma Marina, he retired to the U.S. but continued to financially support them with his Brazilian pension, actually, that he received because of her. So he always said that God kept him alive so he could help them keep their ministry going on. So that was always really cool, just to see that testimony that he was always consistently faithful in that ministry. He spent the vast majority of his life serving the Lord and pointing others toward Christ, and he was always a joy to be around. He loved to make others smile. He loved to make people laugh, and he excelled at it for all of you who knew him. He had a very childlike sense of humor, and he always said, he's like, if it's this bad now, I can't imagine what it's going to be like when I finally get old. So he was always a joy. With Hailda's help, actually, there's a biography written that's written in Portuguese that details several of his stories from his ministry in Brazil. There's one of how God saved him from a five-step snake. Which I didn't know what that was, but a five-step snake is a snake that is so venomous that when you get bitten, you don't make it five steps before you fall over dead. And so he saw it after he passed it, and the Lord just protected him from it. He delivered a baby in the back of his car while they were en route to the hospital, so it didn't even make it there. The Lord saw them through that. He escaped robbers on a deserted interior road. And one of my favorite stories was of him leading a Nazi general to the Lord. The Nazi general was on his deathbed, and he got to lead him to the Lord. And he always said, even though the horrible things they did, and I really wanted to turn him in, he said, I knew that if God could forgive me of my sins, the least I can do is share that same love that God gave me to him. And that was just the way he was with everyone. His first and foremost thought was always to share the love of Christ with others. He always said that, I read that part, sorry. I can definitely say that we will forever miss him. He's such a strong influence for our family, and he raised us to love the Lord, and that is the greatest gift he could have given any of us. So we're forever going to miss him, but we're so grateful for the time we had with him, and just to be able to come to this, and instead of being overwhelmed with sorrow, we get to share in just the joy of celebrating his life and the ministry that he served the Lord with. We know the Lord is good, and that our grandfather is finally at rest and by his side. So, thank you.
Thank you so much. Amen to that. Let me read to you a scripture that is Brother Wiesner's ministry motivation verse. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And this was, according to Martha, a motivation for him to be faithful to the Lord in his life. And I think all of us who know him can say amen to that, and that he is or was and now enjoying his presence and grateful for a life of faithfulness. Pastor.
We'll sing another song that was one of Brother Wiesner's favorites and requested. We'll sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Would you stand with me if you're able? Number 435, What a Friend We Have.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. We often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Thank you. You may be seated. Pastor mentioned it earlier, but we are very grateful to have the Laranjeira family that's going to come and sing for us. They are Brazilian. They're members of our church here. They were not under Brother Wiesner's ministry, but they were asked by Miss Martha to sing, and we're excited to have them singing. They're going to be singing number 393. They'll be singing in Portuguese. If you want to see the words in English, it's Nearer My God to Thee. So you can grab a hymnal there nearby if you want 393 to follow along with those words this morning.
I just wanted to say a few words, and I've written in order for not to forget it. It's a huge privilege to make part of this, and although we have got know him here a few months ago, his life portrays the journey of thousands of faithful men who dedicated their lives to fight not only on the physical realm, but also on the spiritual realm. And besides feeling very honored to be part of this beautiful service, we also are thankful for the love you Americans have for missions, the love you have always had for missions, and even that what's made it possible for us to be here today to be thankful for the Lord, for his life, for his testimony. And we are very glad to be part of this. Thank you.
Sempre.
Scripture that the family asked to be read, and I'm going to take a few minutes and address that scripture. It's Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and it is a wonderful scripture. I would say it's important to many of us who know the Lord, and it was so important to Brother Wiesner. So if you, I'm going to turn in my Bible to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Listen to what God says to us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, for them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, this is a wonderful promise of God. This is a promise of God that inspires our confidence. Now, we know that all things work together for good. This is a promise that is claimed by faith, though at times in life we cannot see it. We do not know how things are going to work out for good. We don't know what God is going to do. But by faith, we claim this knowledge, not even necessarily by experience, but because God says it is so. We claim this by faith, and this is a promise that is lived by faith. It is interesting that Brother Wiesner's ministry verse, Hebrews 10:38, takes a quote from the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 7. It's three times quoted in the New Testament. The just shall live by faith. And in life, this scripture, knowing that God works all things together for good, still inspires confidence when we do not see where God is leading and we don't see what's ahead. We wonder what will be. By faith, we can be confident that God is still working. So this passage of scripture and this wonderful promise inspires confidence. There's something else. This wonderful promise inspires comfort. Here's a question for you. Is everything in life good? Oh, my. I would say no. Not everything in life is good. Now, there are so many goodnesses that God brings into the life of a person who knows the Lord Jesus and is his disciple. Yes, there are so many things that are good. But listen, there are also so many heartaches and disappointments, so many questions. And not everything in life is good. But the promise in this passage of Scripture is that God takes all of the things of life, some of which are good in and of themselves, some of those are not good in and of themselves. And the promise is that God brings all of this together so that in the end, God takes whatever it is that He allows in our life and whatever it is that takes place in our life, and in the end, God always makes good. How many of you like chocolate cake? Anyone like chocolate cake? Would you like a piece of chocolate cake right now? Yes. The hungry ones would really like some. After the holidays, you really want something else sweet to eat? Really? Chocolate cake. Now, I like chocolate cake, as many of you like chocolate cake. But if you were to take the elements that make up a chocolate cake and eat them individually, you may not find them enjoyable. You might find eating sugar enjoyable in and of itself. Salt maybe, but maybe not. You probably are not going to enjoy having a cup of flour just to eat. Or as much as you may like chocolate, just some straight cocoa isn't all that good. I really don't know if you'd want to eat some raw eggs, though. I guess there are some people that enjoy eating raw eggs. But while the elements that make that cake individually may not be that appealing, how many of you know when you mix it all together and it's baked well, how many of you know that it's a pleasure to eat chocolate cake? And that's the way God works. God takes individual things that in and of themselves may not be good. Some are good, some. But God is a God that takes whatever happens and He mixes it all together. And in the end, He makes good. Now, I can understand why this is such a precious verse to Brother Wiesner. And while it is that for all of us, we can hold on to this. And it inspires comfort because whatever is happening, we can believe that God will make good. So this wonderful promise inspires confidence and inspires comfort. But there's something else this wonderful promise inspires. This wonderful promise inspires concentration. Do you ever have a problem concentrating? Easily distracted? In life, that's one of the challenges of life, isn't it? To stay focused on the things that matter in life and the things that matter in eternity. But in this passage of Scripture, God tells us something. We know that all things work together for good, but not for everybody. We are told that God does work things together for good, but He does so for them who are the called. For them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. There are two bases on which this promise can be claimed by you and by me. There are two conditions that are the basis of claiming this promise, and they are that God reserves this promise for those that love Him and those who are called according to His purpose. In a time like this, when we take these moments and remember a wonderful man, and remember for each of us the interaction we had with his life, and I'm so glad that James was able to read some things about his life that most of us here that know him don't know about his life. Though I did hear about the five-step snake story. That's a great story. I learned that with that intergenerational prayer meeting I told you about. The five-step snake story. I can't even say it. Five-step snake story. It's a great story. But what's wonderful is that for all of us, it's good for us to stop and really refocus about my life, and a life that is focused on loving God and fulfilling the calling that God has for you. Now, this portion of Scripture It's a subject that is far larger than would be appropriate in this setting, and the scriptural context is so vast, it's of eternal perspective and eternal dimension. But as God tells us this, gives us this promise, he reminds us in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, so that God in eternity past has you on his mind. And God, who knows everything that is possible and everything that is real and every possibility and every reality or actuality, God in eternity past planned and worked so that people come to Christ. And then those that respond to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told of them that he did predestinate them, that is, he has a plan for their life. And them he called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified, so that in eternity, God is working, and in time, he brings out his plan, and so that on around 8 o'clock on December the 24th in 2020, while it was a year we would like to forget, it's a wonderful year, because on that morning, Brother Wiesner was able to experience the glorification that God had begun planning in eternity past, and he is enjoying now and will forevermore in eternity future because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, does God work things together for good to them that love him and who are called according to his purpose. And I hope for all of us that this inspires us to focus on loving God and the calling he has for you. He calls everyone to be saved from the judgments that are to come, the wrath of God, that Jesus died and rose again, taking our penalty, taking the wrath of God, and resurrected in new life so that you and I could have new life. Do you know him? Have you responded to his calling to save? There's a calling to surrender your life to him. And boy, when the army sent Brother Wiesner to Brazil, they had no idea what a blessing the world would reap, huh? And it's a calling to surrender to whatever God's will for your life is, and then to give your life in service to him. Concentration. So that these promises can be yours. And as you live, what you'll find is that you will have a story that this promise that God works all things together for good to them that love him, to them that are called according to his purpose, is not just something you know about. This becomes something you live by experience. Well, with that said then, what we're going to do is we're going to sing one more song. We're going to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, and then we will close this memorial service in prayer. So Pastor Alexander is going to come and lead us as we sing of God's amazing grace.
Would you stand with me as we sing this final song this afternoon? 202, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun.
We're going to remain standing for prayer, and after prayer, if you will remain standing, our funeral directors are going to come, and they're going to take this casket and go from there and remain standing until they are out. And then we'll dismiss you, and you can come and visit together as a family. In our congregation that's here, you can come and visit with this family as well. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our God, we thank you that on a day like today, that you are who you are, and we have had the opportunity to have our lives touched by an individual changed by your grace. And we have been impacted, and so many impacted in so many ways that it is impossible for us to imagine and to account on this side of eternity. And all of it, we thank you because of your grace. Now, in a special way, continue to give grace to this family in these days, and we ask for your help for them. And we pray that even today, what we have heard and our remembrance and gratitude for the life of Brother Wiesner will be for all of us a challenge and a motivation to be faithful to you to the end, because you are a God who is faithful. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing. Thank you for participating today. God's blessings as you go throughout this day. Good night, or good afternoon.